Welcome to Talk of the Town. I'm Sherry Gibson. I'm joined in studio today by Gabriel Gonzalez, who is Assistant Vice President for Behavioral Health with FHN. And we're going to be talking today about suicide prevention. And Gabriel, as your position with behavioral health, do you deal a lot with suicide people who are contemplating suicide and things like that?
Yes, we do daily. Our staff responds to emergency departments where we are evaluating and treating individuals who show up with suicide thoughts and intentions.
So this is a problem right here in our area.
Very much so. Every night we have about 10 people that we deal with on the average who are presenting to our emergency departments with behavioral health crisis.
Now, there's a walk coming up at Crate Park, and it's this weekend. It's the Walk Out of Darkness. Can you tell us a little bit about the purpose behind that walk, what the reasoning is for it?
So the Walk Out of Darkness is a national walk that is sponsored by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. This walk's purpose is to raise awareness as well as funds that would benefit the research and education and prevention for suicide across the United States.
So people basically raise money, right?
Correct.
To participate in this. So what is the money actually used for then?
The money is funds research and suicide prevention and the development of educational programs that can be implemented across the United States to help communities address the issues with suicide in their communities.
I was really surprised when I saw the statistic that says that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death for Americans.
It is. We have an average of 123 people who complete suicides daily in the United States.
Wow, that's terrifying. Is there a certain age group that is more prone to suicide than others?
25 to 45 seems to be the group that is the most likely
prevalent
prevalent. We have is also most prevalent among white men or white males, and we're still doing research about why those reasons, what the reasons behind that is. But that age of 25, 45, and then 45 to 65 tends to be, and then again at the age of 85 seems to be another age where a lot of suicides happens.
Is there a common denominator, or I mean, that's like the million-dollar question, right?
Correct. Yeah. Usually, isolation is one of the biggest contributors to individuals feeling desire to end their lives, hopelessness, as well as symptoms of depression and sometimes anxiety.
Are there any specific signals or things that people can watch for that would maybe be a flag that says, hey, this is a real issue?
Yes, there are. usually we are looking at individuals who are, again, increasing isolation, who have increased symptoms of depression, such as not sleeping well or sleeping too much. Individuals who are beginning to make movements towards getting rid of their things because they're beginning to do to say goodbyes to the loved ones. They start writing letters of goodbyes. They start talking about suicide and making some threats. There is changes on how they perform at work, how they're performing the family, and how much they attend events that the families will do, or even absenteeism from work, or in the case of a juvenile, from school. We also look at a lot of conversations around death and a lot of conversations around what happens after life, taking unnecessary risks, feeling of hopelessness, as I mentioned before, and then individuals who are ostracized or marginalized by society, so individuals that feel like they're being mistreated. Those are things that, and conversations when you start hearing those things are triggers to start thinking about someone that might be considering ending their life.
So as a friend or a family member or even an acquaintance of someone that you're, you know, maybe suspecting that this could be an issue, what are you supposed to do?
So there's a few things that you can do. And I know that it can be quite scary at times, but if you are concerned about someone around you that might be considering suicide, one of the things that should happen is getting that individual into help. And that comes in very different ways. If it is a crisis where it is an imminent situation, sometimes just taking them to the emergency department where they can be evaluated and treated by a specialist. But many a times, if it is caught earlier in life, engaging in either support group or a therapeutic environment with a professional. Here at our agency at the Family Counseling Center for FHN, we treat these conditions. And so if you have someone that is interested on receiving care or you have concerns about it, you can give us reach out to us at 815-599-7300, or you can go easily to our website at fhn.org, and you will be able to find resources in behavioral health services. Another thing that can happen, if you're someone that is specifically thinking about suicide, there are hotlines that you can call. 1-800-HELP is one of these hotlines that you can call, as well as if you type 741-741 help, you'll be able to start chatting on your cell phone with someone that is there to support you.
So sometimes, you know, you hear or read after someone has committed suicide, people will say, oh, well, I didn't think they were serious. They said they were good, but I didn't believe them. Is that kind of common?
It is. One of the bigger problems with suicide is the aftermath. The individuals are left behind that are left wondering, what could I have done differently? And the reality is, some of what the research is showing is that when it is caught early on in life, there's a lot early on in the situation, we can affect it. But once an individual decides that they are going to complete suicide, it is very hard to, it's a very hard turnaround. And so that's when it's very important to take action, get them to a hospital where we can truly ensure that their safety is there.
Do people come directly and say, I'm thinking about committing suicide? Do they sometimes recognize the issue in themselves?
They do. And those are the times when we know that we can be the most helpful.
Because they're really reaching out and admitting and asking for help. Mm-hmm. So this walk that is coming up on Sunday, where and when is it going to be? What time?
So the walk is at Crate Park. We're asking individuals to show up at 9 in the morning. The walk will start at 10 and will go until noon. This walk, if you want to, you can register online until Friday morning, or you can just show up on Saturday morning and you'll be able to register then. For more information about the walk specifically, I would reach out to Elaine Larson.
Okay.
And let me give you her number right now.
Sure.
It's 815-369-4299. Again, that phone number is 815-369-4299, Elaine Larson. Again, you can register online. Registration online will be open until noon on Friday. And if not, you can come to the park and walk with those of us that will be there to walk. I wanted to also repeat the numbers for the support for family members or individuals who are struggling with suicide thoughts. Again, if you have a cell phone, you can text 741-741, and you text HELP, and you will be able to chat with a individual that will be there to support you. The number to call is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. Again, that number is 1-800-273-TALK. And if you do not know the letters, because that has been a change, it's 8255. 1-800-273-8255.
Okay, some great information. Now, if we could you just share some of the range, or actually the range of services available through FHN Family Counseling?
So through FHN Family Counseling, we have multiple programs. We have a program that is education and prevention, and that's specifically for parenting and to help families who have children between the ages of pregnancy to the age of five. We also have a drug and alcohol prevention program where we do programming at the schools in Stevenson and Joe Davis County. On the behavioral health side, on the therapeutic side, we have a range of therapists, ranging around 20 therapists that provide services of therapeutic services to the lifespan. We treat children as young as 4 years old, and we treat adults as old as 85 or 90. We provide therapeutic services for depression, anxiety, just adjusting to life, because I know that can be so hard. And also grief, dealing with grief, dealing with schizophrenia and bipolarism. One thing that I probably should mention is we also have an event coming on November the 3rd. And during this event, we will have a day-long training or conversation around grief. So if individuals are also struggling with the loss of a loved one in the past 3 years, reach out to us through our website, and the event is called
that's okay, but it's November 3rd regarding grief.
It's regarding grief, and Love Never Ends is the name of the event. And so we invite you also to come and join us for that event.
Okay, great. How can someone make an appointment? Do they need to go through their primary care physician, or can they call the counseling center directly?
They can call us directly, and we will get an appointment for them as quickly as we can.
All right, wonderful. Again, the Suicide Awareness Walk Out of the Darkness, this Sunday at Crate Park. And what time again did you say it begins?
The walk begins at 10, but we're asking people to show up at 9 so they can register and get ready to walk with their friends.
Okay, wonderful. And of course, always more information available at FHN.org. Thank you so much. This is Talk of the Town. I've been visiting today with Gabriel Gonzalez, who is the Assistant Vice President for Behavioral Health with FHN.